I say hello in English now and I try to speak English. I will present the case studies and our conclusions in Germany. We have been a team of workers. It's me and the other one couldn't come. I'm sorry. It's Ronald Staples, Rainer Trinschek and Michael Whittall. And our student collaborator could come, so I'm happy that Jasmin, who did nearly all interviews with me, with us, is already today here. So, our three case studies are about, the first one is about the metal industry, a very important sector for Germany, which is also the home for the biggest union in Germany, IG Metall, with over 2 million members. And 20% of them have migration background. So IG Metall is the biggest migrant worker or migrant organization all over Germany. The second case study has been in the service sector. We addressed the healthcare service sector and a little bit also the elderly care sector. And the third one is about Fair Mobility, which is a project of the DGB, the Deutsche Gewerkschaftsbund. It's the German Federation of Unions, a kind of German TUC, which has not so much power and not so much money. And therefore, this project has been financed by the Federal Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs. Nearly 75% of the whole project was financed by the state, and it addresses workers from Eastern Europe which come to Germany and tries to give advice to them in their home country languages. So these are the three case studies which I very shortly try to present. The first one in the metal industry, we did interviews on two levels, on the sectoral level and the company level. We did some interviews with IG Metall officers who were responsible for migrant affairs, and 8 interviews in one company, which is an aluminium foundry producing gearing parts for gearing parts for the automobile industry. They have about 1,000 employees, most of them male and not so skilled employees. Most of them are doing quite dirty and hard and often also dangerous work. And they work in non-qualified or semi-skilled working conditions. Given this fact, the company has a long migration history with a lot of migrants coming from different countries. But the biggest percentage of them are Turkish workers, but there are also Italian, Greek, and nowadays in newer times, many Russians and Polish workers. 20% of the employees are non-German, but nearly half of them have a migration background. So it's really a migrant staff. Also in the Works Council, you find migrant members now, 3 Turkish works members of the Works Council, 1 Romanian and 1 Yugoslavian, but the head of the Works Council is German, and 2/3 of all the Works Council is German. Our findings, very shortly. I was personally also astonished that there is a clear decline of multilinguality since the 90s, which means all kinds of non-German leaflets or tags or translations have been abolished since they existed still in the 90s, and nowadays you do not find anything in Turkish which is written in this company. The reason is that everybody told us that the migrants are speaking better German, and all of them are speaking German, and this was not the case in the 80s and the 90s. So German is clearly the official company language in this company, and this practice is also backed by the Works Councils. The Works Council, like the management, they insist that it's a kind of necessity of communication and coordination during the work, that everybody speaks German. It's a reason of healthcare and safety standards, and there are also social arguments which are employed to say everybody has to speak German. But nevertheless, in practice, German is not always the workaday language, which means that you hear Croatian, Turkish, Russian, and Italian in some corners of the production. But even the Works Council says this is not a good practice, and he's stigmatizing this as a kind of ghettoization, for he says speaking in other language is clearly associated or linked with bad working conditions, low qualification, and a lack of career possibilities. So, not speaking German is a reason for discrimination in this company, but English is another case. English is clearly used as lingua franca, as the management told us, for the company management. This situation is more or less representative for the metal industry in Germany, as IG Metall told us. Also, they say that German is the dominant language for their policy. It's clear, and everybody should speak German, but they are a little bit more ambivalent concerning translation practices. They try to have a look on the context of each case and then to decide whether it's necessary to translate or not, and to respect also individual identities. For somebody, there's not everybody who wants who wants translation. Sometimes it's also seen as a kind of discrimination if you think that you have been translated, for you are not integrated, you are not speaking German, and sometimes people don't want that there are translations for them. This was very shortly and very shortened the case in the metal industry. We have a look on the second case, the healthcare sector. This is a special case for in the healthcare sector. Language competences are a formal and practical crucial factor in this field. This is the case because you have to prove that you are able to speak German at a B2 level. If you're, this is necessary to get your qualification as a nurse to be approved. So you cannot work as a nurse in Germany if you have not passed a language test. It's a formal obstacle. And on the other hand, it's also necessary to speak German, for a metal worker has not to speak with his machine, but a nurse has to speak all the time with his German patient. So it's really necessary for the work to interact with your patient. So language is a crucial skill in the healthcare sector. And we have in Germany the situation that this sector has a lack of skilled persons, and after 2011, or 2008 and 9, after the financial crisis, this sector has attracted a lot of migrant people, above all from Spain and other southern European countries. So you have a lot of migrant workers there, and there are even programs of the federal agency to attract people from the outside of Germany to have skilled people in the sector. So what did we find? We conducted all over 13 interviews in this sector, 8 with different stakeholders, the union, the employment agency, and migrant workers organizations and management people, and 5 with nurses, mainly Spanish nurses, and 1 doctor and 1 elderly care nurse in this sector. So this is the empirical basis. Our findings, I shorten this a little bit, are 3, I would say. First, the B2 level of language, which is formally necessary there, it is at the same time not enough and too much as necessity to speak Germany, to speak German. It is not enough because of formalized language certification does not represent the practical level of language competences which is necessary in this field. Field one nursing manager told us that B2 is a technical feature, but it is basically not sufficient. It's not enough. But at the same time, this formal obstacle is a gateway also for exploitive employment relationships. For if you're not yet passed this test, you can be employed, but not as a qualified nurse. So this is also a reason why people accept other forms of employment, above all in the elderly home care sector. Okay, first finding. Second finding, it's very clear in this sector that language skills is not enough, but you have also to have cultural skills, and this is often a bigger problem than the pure language skills. Because of this, some hospitals and also one radiological network, which we where we did research, they do mentoring programs, and they link migrants with migrant people who are in Germany since a longer time with newcomers, to give to make an exchange not only on the language level but also on the cultural level. But not every hospital are doing this, and many organizations do not have resources to systematically develop language and cultural skills of the migrant workers. And the third finding, the union does not deal at all with language issues in this sector, and even migrant workers are often not looked at, or they are overlooked by the unions, for they are often working not in the big hospitals, or not only in the big hospitals, but in the elderly care sector and in smaller companies where you have no works council or union structures at all. Okay, three findings in this case. And the third case, very short, it's a really interesting case, on a project which has been founded in 2011. This was the year when the labor restrictions has been lifted on the 10 accession countries of the EU, which means Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, and so on. And it was clear that a lot of migrants will come to Germany, and that the DGB was well aware that this could be the reason for exploitation and even illegal practices, which we have seen in Germany since the 90s, also in the construction sector, for example, or in the agricultural sector. So they tried to build up a project which at least has been funded really by the Ministry of Labor and Social Affairs. They pay, the state is paying 75% of all costs of this project, and the aim was to advise Eastern European workers in their native languages on their employment rights. You see here at the sheet the seven advice centers existing nowadays in Germany: Berlin, Dortmund, Frankfurt am Main, Kiel, Munich, Oldenburg, and Stuttgart. And from the very beginning, the issue of multilinguality played a central role in this project. You see at the right hand, the languages spoken in the different advice centers. You can have a look on it. I am not citing it now. And everybody with whom we spoke in this case study told us that there is really a strong correlation between people who don't speak German and exploitative structures. They cannot defend their right. They even don't know their rights. And therefore, this project has been very necessary, I think. you see here a table with the main issues which has been addressed by the advice centers. They mostly give first advice and try to find a quick solution of the problems, and not they do not like to go to court or something like this, which takes a long time, but to give advice, to write a letter, to empower a little bit the people, and this is often enough that they get some rights at least. So the issue which is the biggest one, clearly the most important, is pay. You see it here with more than 1,000 or nearly 1,800 cases in the year 2015. You have to say, and the second issue is our employment, the employment contract. This is the second. The third one is the termination of contracts. The fourth one is national insurance contributions, and also diseases or accidents play a prominent role. All over, the officers of these advice centers have to deal with around 40 or 50 cases per month, which is a lot. And they also try at the same time to raise consciousness on migrant issues by reporting cases to the regional medias, for example, or also by doing seminaries for union officers. But this is hard work. all over, it's sure that they could help a lot of people in small cases, but the future prospects are unwritten for the moment. It's a project, and as a project, it has a beginning and an end, and the end of funding by the state will be the end of 2016, which is near, and it's still not sure what will happen afterwards. The unions at the beginning, they said that they will integrate the project into their structures, but nowadays everything is changing in Germany, and the migrant issue is a big issue, but yes, it is changing its contours. You will have to integrate at least Arabic and Farsi, Persian language, into this project, and yeah, it's not sure whether it will go on or not. So this would be the findings very shortly and very shortened from the German side, and we should have, perhaps we can have a short discussion on it.
We now open the floor for questions, comments. Raise your hand, I will pass you the micro. Please present yourself, your name and institution.
Bonjour à toutes et à tous, je m'appelle Franck Grandmaison, je suis représentant du personnel ici dans un grand groupe d'assurance. J'aurais voulu savoir si vous avez eu des difficultés à rentrer dans les entreprises et interroger les dirigeants sur les pratiques linguistiques dans leurs entreprises.
Bon, je réponds en français là, dans ce cas. Ouais. Alors, dans le cas de l'entreprise du métal, c'était aucun problème parce qu'on a des relations surtout avec le Work Council, comité d'entreprise. Mais oui, mais il est très fort le comité d'entreprise. Alors le management, il voulait aussi parler avec nous. Ça allait. Mais dans le cas des hôpitaux, ça c'était vraiment problématique. Mais pas seulement avec le management, mais aussi avec les comités d'entreprise. Alors là, c'était un secteur où on a vraiment eu des difficultés d'entrée. Bon. Ouais, mais en général, je fais beaucoup des entretiens avec des managements en Allemagne. Et bon, si tu viens de l'université comme professeur, on parle avec toi. Normalement, c'est pas tellement le problème.